Good evening, everyone, and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Questions and Answers time for Friday evening. These broadcasts are live every Friday at about 9:30 p.m. Eastern, and this program is designed to interact with you with your questions and comments related to the Bible, and we'll try to respond as well as possible by going to the Bible. If you're calling us by phone with your questions or comments, dial 209-647-1600 and enter the access code 181610, followed by the pound key, which gets you into conference. Then press star 6 and then 1. If you're using Skype, press the free conference call button, then press the dial pad button and enter access code 181610 and press your pound key. And to get in line to ask a question, press star 6 and 1. And if you're using Paltalk, you simply go to eBible Fellowship's room, and once inside the room, you can raise your hand, and when you're asked to, you can post your question. And so, with our Bibles at the ready, it's now time to turn things over to our speaker for this Friday evening questions and answers time and say hello to Chris McCann. Good evening, Chris.
Okay, thank you. And now at this time, we will open up the room to any questions or comments that anyone has. And each person is invited to share what's ever on your mind. And I'll try to respond by going to the Bible. We're living at a time where we've had some struggles. We've had some difficulties trying to learn first, the nature of God's judgment, and then secondly, the duration of God's judgment. But, you know, if you look at things in a certain way, and I would recommend this, if you just look at the difficulties we've had, they have to do with, would God destroy the world for 5 months? And then, no, that wasn't correct. Then we thought he might double it. Will he destroy the world after 10 months? So we've been wrong about that. And initially, we were also wrong about the type of judgment. We thought it would be physical, a great earthquake that would wreak havoc upon the earth. And we were wrong about that. But in that area, we've been able to make correction. And now we realize that the judgment on the world is identical to the judgment that came upon the churches. And we really should have realized that sooner, because God tells us in Jeremiah 25 that the cup that is given to the church is the same cup given to the nations of the world. First, it's given to the people of God. Then there's a transition to the nations of the world. And we understood very well that the judgment on the churches was spiritual, despite a good deal of language that used ugly pictures and woe unto them that give suck in those days and pictures of famine and desolate wildernesses. And we correctly were able to wade through that information and realize, well, God is speaking in parables. He's using ugly language. But really, it all comes down to that when God ended the church age, as he did, and there's no question about this, as he did in May of 1988, he ended the church age. That what he did was he took the daily away. And the daily has everything to do with the Holy Spirit and the light of the gospel. He removed it, and he removed the blessings that the churches had enjoyed for 1955 years. And And in doing so, he also removes salvation. No one has been saved in any church of any congregation in all the world for, well, now 24 years, since 1988. No one anywhere. Now, that judgment, which, by the way, the church is for the most part, maybe overwhelmingly so, were ignorant of, willfully ignorant in many cases. They cared nothing for it. They didn't concern themselves about it. The judgment of God was upon them in a grievous way, and they went happily about their business throughout the whole period. And that is the cup that they were given to drink. Then Jeremiah 25 says, take the cup and give it to the nations of the world. And God even makes a point. And let me read this verse in Jeremiah 25. He says in verse 29, for lo, I begin to bring evil on the city which is called by my name. And should ye be utterly unpunished? He's speaking to the world. Ye shall not be unpunished, for I will call for a sword upon all the inhabitants of the earth, saith Jehovah of hosts. Therefore prophesy thou against them all these words, and say unto them, Jehovah shall roar from on high and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He shall mightily roar upon his habitation. He shall give a shout as they that tread the grapes against all the inhabitants of the earth. So the cup is given to the nations of the world. And what we did, our error, was we correctly understood the nature of judgment on the church was spiritual. We recognized the language was parabolic, even though very ugly. But then when the transition was made from judgment on the church to judgment on the world, we left the understanding of parabolic language. We left our understanding of what the cup meant. As insofar as God brought his judgment on the churches of the world, one third of the world's population, and we turned it into a physical judgment that would last over 5 months. Even though along with that we had some understanding, because we were forced to recognize this, that there was also spiritual language that applied to the 5 months, which we interpreted to mean no salvation. And that is the language of the darkening of the sun and the moon and the stars. We realize this, and you know, some people say, well, your no salvation doctrine, oh, what a heinous thing, what an ugly, awful thing that you have developed. Well, I'm afraid it is ugly and is awful, but judgment is just that. It's never pretty. It wasn't pretty when it was on the churches, when God pronounced his wrath upon one third about of the world's population. That wasn't a pretty thing. It seems some people have forgotten, and some individuals have no problem saying, rather glibly, the church age is over, and we're not to go to church. And yet, in that pronouncement, what were they saying? That one third, about 2 billion people, were in a situation in which there was no salvation. And these people made those statements and made those claims without a second thought. And they're the same ones now that have such conscience and have such difficulties accepting that God would do such a thing to the world. Well, he's already done it to the church, people called by his name. Why would they doubt that he would do the same thing to the world, to individuals not called by his name? It was a grievous thing, an extremely sorrowful thing for God to pronounce the judgment upon the churches and congregations. It's why Jeremiah wept so again and again, and it was not a pleasant thing at all. Well, yeah, but the difference is they could have come out. There was still salvation in the world. That's true. But the reality is, and we knew this, that the overwhelming vast majority of people would not budge. They would not budge a inch in obedience to God. It was just a relative handful that came out of the churches in obedience to God's command to depart out. So when we declared that God is judging the churches, we were sharing information that pronounced the judgment on 2 billion people, that they would not have salvation, that we were pronouncing it on men and women and children. Whole families were impacted by those statements. And now, God would never do such a thing, people were saying. Oh, he's already done it. He's already done it to those called by his name. And you know what the real problem is? It was rather easy, I think, for certain individuals. It was easy for them to say, well, the church age is over, God's judging the church, and they didn't have too much concern for the families and children in the churches. They didn't even think about them. But now you see that the judgment of God has reached out to them. The judgment of God has come and expanded into all the world. In other words, it's come home to them, and now they don't like it a bit. They don't like it at all. Well, you know what? You and I and all of us now know exactly how the people within the churches and congregations felt hearing these kinds of things, hearing that there's no hope, there's no salvation in your midst. And it's not surprising that many times pastors and elders and individuals in the churches struck out in anger. They struck out in fury against this kind of a doctrine of the end of the church age. Very, very similar to the anger and to the fury that some people are striking out with now at the very same teaching of God. And we shouldn't be surprised, because it's the same cup, the cup of God's wrath that he has given to the world. And now we have made correction. We understand it's a spiritual judgment. When God told the world that May 21 is judgment day, and he let it be known to all the earth, it is the day the door to heaven shuts. It is the day you have, from whatever point you heard that news, up until that particular day to get right with God, in order that you might be hid from the fierceness of his anger. And so seek the Lord. Cry out to him for mercy. Oh, how many times did we say that? How many times did we encourage that? You know, I know. I had an opportunity by God's grace to teach and to share many times leading up to that day for a few years in advance, and I was able to take advantage of a wonderful period of time when the door to heaven was flung far and wide open. We used to say it so much that God's saving a great multitude, and encourage people to go to him and cry for mercy so often that people would say to us, "Oh, you're not serious that God is saving a great multitude. We don't see that." You know, the same. It's almost funny. It's not. It's rather sad. But in a, I guess just use a figure of speech, it's kind of funny that people accuse eBible of having no heart, of being cold-hearted, cold-blooded, oh, to declare such a thing, a gospel of no salvation and no mercy. And we used to be accused of telling people too much and focusing too often on encouraging people to cry out for mercy. Do you think that after doing that for years, that suddenly we've just turned cold? Let me just let you know that's not the case. We love sharing that information with people, and if it were still true, we would love to share it still and share it far and wide. We'd organize a track trip as soon as possible. I don't know what people are waiting for. If you really believe that God is saving, then you better get busy and start getting together and organizing track trips. If you believe God's saving, there's a big world out there, and so you really need to get busy. Stop worrying if I or a few others are saying there's no salvation. I wouldn't care if some people said that, and I believe the Bible is teaching otherwise. Who cares what some people say? You only care what the Bible says. But no, people aren't doing that. Isn't it interesting what an enormous change has taken place since when? Since May 21. What an enormous change in outlook, in focus, and in so many ways has occurred. And why is it? Well, it's because the judgment of God has begun, and God has given the cup to the world that they are to drink of. And it's the same judgment that was on the churches, the removal of the blessing of God as far as his word bringing salvation, his word shining brightly as the sun, and the word of God reflecting God's light as the moon, and the believers, the body of believers, carrying that message as the stars. No, the lights of heaven are dark, and there is no more salvation. The door shut on May 21, 2011. That is the sad news, but it is the true news from the Bible. So we were able to make that correction. Now we have stumbled and had difficulty. There's no denying it. Understanding the duration, how long Judgment Day will be. And we don't know. We don't know right now. But that's it. That is the only area that we lack understanding in. All the other information remains intact. Everything that pointed to May 21 is in place. All the wonderful doctrines that God opened to our understanding as he took the seals off of the Bible, they're still in place. He did reveal to us the day of judgment. And so a wise man's heart did know time and judgment, and so on. We only lack the information to one question, And because we lack the information to the question how long, and we've had to learn that in a difficult way by going through 5 months and 10 months and then realizing, well, this isn't what God meant. We had something wrong. Well, because of that, the cry is going out, throw away the calendar, throw away the doctrines, go back to church, and so on. It is over exaggeration. It is mass confusion. We have erred in one area, and we need to focus on that area, yes, and pray for wisdom. But the rest of the information is intact. And I'm sure if you look at it that way, set aside the whole question of how long and take a look at everything else, and you'll see that we're not as in such a muddled place as some would like us to think. But okay, we do have a couple of callers. Let's go to the person on the phones. Welcome to our Friday night question and answer.
Lindsay 1132 asks, how can one know when God answers prayer, and what if no answer is given? How long does one continue praying about a particular issue or concern?
Well, you know, I don't know how we can know. Of course, if we're praying for something specific, and if someone is praying for salvation of another person, and we can still pray for that, we can pray, "Oh Lord, having had mercy, have mercy." Could it be that that you might somehow still possibly be working in this person's life by their hearing of your message before the door was shut? And then if we see no evidence, no fruit in that person's life, we can know that God hasn't answered the prayer in the way we were hoping, and we can just keep praying. But you know, we can cast all of our cares on God. He gives us that opportunity. We have that privilege where we can pray for anything. We can pray, "Oh Lord, help me find a job. Lord, help me with my wife. Help me with my husband. Help me with my neighbor." You know, if you have a neighbor who's difficult, and you struggle with, then that's an indicator to pray for that person. And or someone at work, we just pray and pray and pray, and about everything, really, we turn to God, and yet we never want to try and force God. We could want something, and we can go to God and pray strenuously and pray again strenuously, and nothing happened, but we're, in a way, maybe we're trying to force God to do it, and we have to watch out for that. Jesus prayed an excellent prayer in the garden when he prayed, "Not my will, but thine be done." And that would be a good way for us to always end our prayer in recognition of God's will. His will is perfect. His will be done. And really, if we could get in line with the will of God, we would be much better off. But thank you for that question. Let's go to the next person on the phone. Welcome to our Friday night question and answer time.
Hey, Chris. I, like you, believe that God is no longer saving today, not because I'm a monster, but because I believe the Bible teaches it. there are people out there that are angry with us and teaching that God is still saving, even institutions like Family Radio. My question is, what verses are they coming up with to refute the fact of the door being shut?
Well, you know, let me say this. It's helpful if you think back to the judgment on the church, because that is our example for this judgment. It's the same cup. And remember, it was several years into the judgment on the church before, I think it was 12 or 13 years from 88 to about 2000, 2001, before really anyone understood and realized what God had done. And so for the first 12 or 13 years of the Great Tribulation, the end of the church age, you could turn on Family Radio and you could hear encouragements to find a local church and a reasonably faithful church. And, you know, they lacked understanding, and so did we. And so believers were in churches and congregations. And all the way up until the end of the church age, there were some in the churches. Up until May 21, there were people coming out of the churches, and now that process is complete. But that tells us that the elect can be wrong and lack discernment for a period of time when God brings about a spiritual judgment, as he did on the church. It also tells us that the elect will begin to realize it and begin to act upon it, but we have to be patient. And so now we have some individuals that don't see this, and they might even be hostile. I remember when I first heard about the end of the church age, I was a little hostile for a few weeks. And yet, you know, by God's grace, he had mercy. And so, too, there could be people that just don't see it right now. And even a ministry like Family Radio could begin broadcasting information, just as they broadcast information about going to church during that period of time. So I think the thing to do is to be patient. You know, as we're reading in the Bible, we just have to share what the Bible teaches, and it's not done out of any desire to be cruel, as you said. And that's not the nature of the child of God. We're just learning from the Bible, and then we have to share honestly. You know, let me say this. To say, well, God, what's it matter if God's saving or not saving? Let's say he's not saving. Why not just say that people could be saved? Where's the harm? Well, think of the pastor in the church. Think of the sermon and the message that he would preach over the last 23 years to his congregation, all throughout implying, encouraging that the listener in the pew, in the congregation, could be blessed, could find salvation. Their families, their children could experience the blessing of God in that location of being in the church. Well, the problem is that wasn't true. And so it was not a good thing. It was not a kind thing or a loving thing to tell people there was salvation there when, in truth, there was none. It actually is not only not loving, it is unkind in itself. It is cruel in itself to give people false hope. And so it's not a light thing, true, to say God is no longer saving. It is a very serious thing, and I have been thinking and praying about it for the last few months. But likewise, it can be said, it is not a light thing to say God is saving when he is not. That is the sin of the churches and congregations of our modern day. Well, thank you for your comments. But for now, I'm going to say goodnight, and may the Lord's perfect will be done.
Thank you so much for joining us during this Friday evening questions and answers time. The broadcast is heard live over the Internet beginning at approximately 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You may also join our Sunday afternoon broadcast of eBible's Questions and Answers beginning at approximately 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Until then, may the Lord grant us his wisdom, and may his perfect will be done. Have a blessed evening. Good night.